This is the Biblical Unitarian Podcast.
Greetings, truth seekers, and welcome to the Biblical Unitarian Podcast, the podcast that aims to start conversations about the oneness and unity of God and about the humanity of Jesus. My name is Dustin Smith, and as always, I will be your host. This week, we got episode 320 entitled John's Use of Deuteronomy 18, verse 22b. So this is our final episode in our series that explores how Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22 has completely shaped the narrative of the Gospel of John. Now, I hope that you've enjoyed this deep dive into a rather overlooked emphasis in the fourth gospel. This week's episode brings our study to a conclusion by focusing on Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22b. Last week we did 22a, and this week we'll look at the second half of the verse. But as a reminder, I'll go ahead and read the entirety of the verse. Deuteronomy 18, verse 22 says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which Yahweh has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." That's Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. So, while a true prophet absolutely must be heeded, you must listen to him. A presumptuous prophet should be ignored and not feared. You shall not be afraid of a false prophet. So, how does the theme of fear relate to those who hear Jesus' prophetic preaching in the Gospel of John? Is the Johannine Jesus feared? And if not, who is feared, and for what reason? Instead of ignoring Jesus as a presumably false prophet, why do some still criticize him and criticize his hometown? And how are those who call for Jesus to be put to death for speaking presumptuously portrayed when it comes to their own pious practices towards the God of Israel? Let's find out on this week's episode of the Biblical Unitarian Podcast. Our first point today is, instead of fearing God and his prophet, the Jews are ironically feared. And so we're looking at this theme of fear. We saw in Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, that a prophet that is not speaking in the name of Yahweh, a prophet who speaks presumptuously, is someone whom is not to be feared. You are not to be afraid of this prophet. But some of the irony of this is that the Gospel of John makes quite clear that Jesus is this prophet, and yet the fear is actually turned on a different group of persons. Let's look at how this appears in the Gospel of John. So, starting in chapter 7, verse 12, it says that there was much grumbling among the crowds concerning Jesus. Some were saying, "He is a good man." Others were saying, "No. On the contrary, he leads the people astray." Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. That's John chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. So we have a divide here. We have a controversy. We have some of the Jews saying that Jesus is a good man, and others are saying, no, this is the sort of guy that leads people astray. He's a false prophet, and he's not just a false prophet. He's a dangerous prophet that is leading the people of God down the wrong path. But the people were not speaking openly of Jesus because they actually feared the Jews. And this is interesting. Jesus is actually the true prophet, and so you must fear and listen to him. But they're not fearing Jesus, the true prophet. They are fearing the Jews, and they are afraid of the Jews to the point to where they're actually afraid of actually speaking openly about Jesus. And that's part of the irony. We can see a bit more of this in chapter 9, verse 22, where it talks about the blind man who was healed by Jesus. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. That's John chapter 9, verse 22. Again, we can see the fear, but the fear is not in regard to Jesus, the true prophet, who not only speaks the words of God, but enacts the restoration of God as the light of the world by giving sight to the blind. They're not fearing that prophet. They're fearing the Jews who actually don't believe that Jesus is a true prophet. In fact, they are persecuting those who confess Jesus to be the Messiah, God's anointed king. And this was almost certainly something that the original audience of the Gospel of John was actually going through. They were suffering the expulsion from the synagogue, and the Gospel of John was written to them in order to give them encouragement in light of that difficult situation. In chapter 19, verse 38, it says that after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. That's John 19, verse 38. So again, we can see fear, but this fear is not directed towards Jesus in the sense of a respect, because he really is God's prophet speaking forth the words of the only true God, the words of Yahweh. Again, we see people are fearing the Jews. And it's the Jews who don't actually think that Jesus is the Messiah. Those are the ones who are being feared. That's the irony, is that the fear that they are not supposed to be having, they're actually being the recipients of fear. These Jews who don't think that Jesus is the true Messiah. In fact, they just put him to death. They think that he is a presumptuous prophet, someone who is claiming to be the Son of God. He's making himself out to be the Son of God presumptuously. They're not fearing him, but the Jews themselves are being feared. So here we have a disciple who is not a public one. He's actually a secret one. But notice, it's the Jews who are again being feared. This seems to be an ongoing theme. And this continues even after the resurrection of Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it says that when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." John 20, verse 19. So even the disciples aren't perfect at this point of the narrative. They are also fearing the Jews, and it's indicating that this fear, which is supposed to be directed towards Jesus because he is the true prophet, and Deuteronomy 18, verse 22 says that if someone is speaking presumptuously, you're not supposed to fear him. The ironic piece here is that the fear is actually being directed against the unbelieving Jews, those who are persecuting Jesus and persecuting the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus. That's part of the irony in light of Jesus being the true prophet like Moses. Let's look a little bit more of this irony. Point number two, instead of ignoring Jesus, some, ironically, attack his hometown. And so as we saw in Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, If a prophet's speaking presumptuously, just ignore him. I mean, he's supposed to be put to death, but he's not someone that really needs a significant amount of attention. But the irony here is that those who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they actually, ironically, go to attack his heritage. They go to attack his hometown, and they do so in a way to where they have misunderstood something very significant about Jesus. So, in John chapter 7, starting in verse 41, we got a fairly lengthy passage here. It says that others were saying, "This is the Christ." Still others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to him, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." The Pharisees then answered them, "You have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Now Nicodemus, who has come to him before, being one of them, said to them, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?" They answered him, "You are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." That's chapter 7, verses 41 through 52. Notice there at the end, the point there is that they don't think that Jesus is a real, legitimate, genuine prophet. They say, no prophet arises out of Galilee. They look at Jesus and they think that he is someone who is from Galilee. And when it comes to determining whether he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, they mistakenly look at the place where Jesus was raised, which is Galilee, and they aren't realizing that he actually wasn't born in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem. And so some of the Jews disqualify Jesus from consideration of actually being the Christ, because they rightfully point out that the Christ is to come from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was. But we can have some of them going out of their way to ironically attack Jesus' hometown, the hometown of Galilee, even though Jesus wasn't born there. He was just simply raised in Galilee. And that's part of the irony of this attack. So they don't think that he is a real prophet, but instead of just not fearing him, they're ironically going out of the way to further attempt to disqualify him. But as we saw, there was a division. There was a division among the crowds, and there was a division among those who were gathered together with the Pharisees and the officers and the rulers. The officers commented and they said, "Never has a man spoken the way that this man speaks." So they acknowledge that Jesus is speaking in a way that is authoritative. Maybe he is this particular prophet, the prophet like Moses. But of course, the Pharisees don't believe that, even though one of their own, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, he actually tries to come in and say, well, the law doesn't judge someone unless it hears from him to know what he's actually doing. They want to actually listen to Jesus. Nicodemus wants them to listen to the words of Jesus to determine whether he is a prophet. But they've already disqualified him. They think he's just simply from Galilee. And if he's from Galilee, he can't be the Messiah. And so he is making these messianic claims presumptuously. He is certainly not the prophet. But From the perspective of the narrative, we know that Jesus really is the Christ. He really is the Messiah. And he really is the prophet like Moses. So let's move to our third point, point number three. The Jews who sought to put to death Jesus as a presumptuous prophet themselves, ironically, blaspheme. So they try to put Jesus to death because they accused him of making himself out to be the Son of God, of making this presumptuous claim to be someone that he was not. That was their accusation against Jesus. Eventually, they convinced Pilate to put Jesus to death. And so they think that they are following the litmus test in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20, 21, and 22. They think that they're doing what the law commands. However, as we're going to see, in an ironic fashion, in fact, probably the thickest piece of irony in the entirety of the Gospel of John, they are not obeying or being loyal to the God of Israel. In fact, they themselves blaspheme. Let's look at this passage. In chapter 19, starting in verse 6, it says, "When the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify! Crucify!' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God.' Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, 'You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you, and I have the authority to crucify you?' Jesus answered, 'You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin.' As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar.' Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, 'Behold, your king.' So they cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" That's John 19, verses 6 through 15. So notice very carefully the accusation that's made against Jesus. They say that Jesus ought to die because, quote, "he made himself out to be the Son of God," end quote. They think that Jesus is making himself out to be the Son of God without it being legitimately conferred upon him. They think that Jesus is presumptuously, in a rebellious way, making a claim that's not actually true. And then it gets repeated later, slightly differently. It says, "Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Notice there, to make yourself out to be the Son of God is further defined as making yourself out to be a king. Son of God is not the second person of the Trinity. It's not some sort of divine nature in the hypostatic union. Son of God is the messianic title for the King of Israel. It means the Christ. It means the Messiah. It means the King of the Jews. That much is very clear. But notice, even though Pilate didn't think that Jesus was a threat, and Pilate wanted to release Jesus, he caved to the mob. Nothing really has changed in our culture today. and the chief priest at the very end, those who think that they are being righteous, they think that they're obeying the law, they think that they are honoring what God said to do about a presumptuous prophet, according to Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 and 21, they actually commit blasphemy. We see there in verse 15, they say, "We have no king but Caesar." They are submitting themselves to the lordship of Caesar, and they are not submitting themselves to the lordship of the one whom God has anointed and placed over them. And so if they're rejecting God's king, they are rejecting God himself. So the irony is that instead of actually listening to God's prophet, they crucify God's prophet, thinking that they're doing what is right, but they themselves are actually far more guilty because of their actions and their words. So we have all sorts of irony that just comes into the narrative because of the phrase in Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, where it indicates that the prophet who has spoken presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. So, in conclusion, the Gospel of John's illustration of Jesus as the prophet like Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 18 comes with several ironic twists. While Deuteronomy 18 verse 22 insists that one should not be afraid of a presumptuous prophet, the narrative's irony portrays those who believe in Jesus as fearing the unbelieving Jews, those who seek to put Jesus to death. The second wave of irony is felt when some of Jesus' audience, being unconvinced of his legitimacy to be the true prophet, seek to discredit him further by attacking his supposed hometown, while others acknowledge his true status as the prophet. And lastly, we observe the thickest irony in the Gospel of John as those who accuse Jesus of presumptuously making himself out to be the Son of God themselves are guilty of blasphemy for claiming that Caesar is their king. The resulting picture is that the Johannine Jesus is indeed the true prophet like Moses, the one in whom Yahweh has placed his authoritative words, thereby making Jesus God's authorized and empowered human agent, his human spokesperson. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Join us next week as we examine some brand new scholarship published in 2024 on Jesus' relationship to humanity within the book of Hebrews. You'll be very excited to see what some recent scholarship has uncovered about Jesus' humanity in the letter to the Hebrews. Please look forward to our next episode. If you enjoy our podcast, please consider supporting us as we aim to promote the sound truths about the oneness and unity of God and about the humanity of Jesus. You can support us absolutely for free by subscribing on YouTube or on iTunes, by giving us an honest review on iTunes, and by sharing your favorite episodes with your friends. If you'd like to offer a donation, please check out the episode description for a PayPal link. The Biblical Unitarian Podcast is produced and edited by Dustin Williams. I am Dustin Smith, your host. Until next time, please take care.